Book of Hebrews tonight, chapter number 2. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. We looked at verses 1 through 4, somewhat verse 5 last week. And I think to begin with, and I don't want to read this chapter. You folks are tired tonight. Just remain seated unless you really want to. It says in verse 1, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels would steadfast in every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest, and things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. May God bless the reading of his word. How many enjoy just listening to God's word being read? We look at this chapter and think of the book of Hebrews. It's a book that was written especially to the Jew to show him that Jesus is better than all that they clung to. As you know, the Jew was a very proud people, and they were a people who believed that only they had access to God. And yet the Lord is trying to show them in their pride, in their arrogance, they had walked right on past what God had for them. Their pride had disallowed him a place in their hearts. They looked for the Messiah, but when he came, his own, the Bible says, received him not. And their pride needed to be deflated that they might see Jesus. That's the primary emphasis, I believe, throughout this tremendous book. The first chapter of the book of Hebrews unveils to you and I the divinity of our Savior. While in this chapter we find given to us and presented very vividly the humanity of our Savior. He is the God-man. He is both God and man. And so as we look at this chapter and see Him in that humanity, I believe we see some wonderful things that is going to bring about to us. The prelude of the chapter that we looked at last week really serves as a warning if we do not heed the wondrous words that he has for us. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? After reminding us that God has not allowed angels in positions of authority, notice verse 5, for unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof He spake. God did not give them that authority. But we find that He does give that authority unto the man, Jesus Christ. He refers back to a verse found in Psalm chapter number 8. I want to read actually three verses from there. Verse 4, 5, and 6 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." We find that God took man who was very little, reminds us of that, and yet God uses man and wants to place him in a position of glory. But what we note, as God brings us to this position of glory, the route must be through humility. If we're going to meet the place of glory in our lives, it must be through the road of humility. Notice what it says in verse number 7. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Here I believe in direct reference to Christ. And he's saying, hey, I made him lower, like unto man, and yet I am going to make him, or have made him, in that position of authority. And it's needful for us to understand the road to glory is by the root of humility. As he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross, so must you and I be looking from self unto the Savior. Look at verse number 8 and 9. It says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he hath left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." And as he tasted death for you and for me, we also find that through Christ we are brought into glory. But what is that route? It's the same route that the Lord Jesus took, and that was as he humbled himself to this position or this place whereby he took upon himself death as you and I should suffer for our sins. The remainder of this chapter, I believe, is devoted to the meaning and the necessity of his suffering. In his humility was the seed of glory. I believe there's something I'd like to get across tonight that is right there in that one fact. If we are going to find or come to the place of glory, if we're going to have the place of honor that God so desires in our lives, it must come through humility. The man who humbles himself, we find God will what? Honor. The man who wants to honor himself, God has to humiliate. And so it is. It'd be much better for you and I if we would learn to humble ourselves in the sight of God. As we look here in the next few chapters, there are three things that I believe the Lord is trying to teach us as to why He needed to die for us, why He needed to take this route of humility. Notice with me, first of all, in verse number 10. It says, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." If you and I are going to go through the route of suffering that we might come to glory, we must be led in that direction. And that is exactly why Jesus came to this world, to lead the way for us. He led the way by walking the very path of humility as he came and made himself in that position. And you and I, we walk with him. Are we not one with him? Are we not a people who have been drawn into that oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ? And you and I, because of that, we can walk in that path of humility with him. There's a couple of verses that are quoted in verses 11, 12, and 13. One of them is found in Psalm 22 and verse number 22. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Another is found in Isaiah 12, 2. It says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And so the Lord, as He talks about His leadership in our lives, He is saying, hey, listen, it is because you are one with me. We are brethren. We walk in this path together. Isn't it wonderful that we can think of our Savior as our elder brother? Isn't it a great wonder thing that God our Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you and I made sons through that, have that wondrous relationship with Him. And so He came to this world to lead us. I believe also, as we consider that, we must follow Him. We must follow that leadership of humility. I've heard people say, well, I don't like to be humiliated. Do you realize that humiliation is exactly what we need so often? It's a process of humbling. It is those things that bring us to that spot where we recognize who we really are, and we're not so great as we think. And we can follow Him, and He is the one then that takes us into that position of glory. And as He leads us, and as we follow Him, one thing we can thus know is He cares for us as followers. Notice verse 14 and 15. Not only do we find that He leads the way for us as He came as man, that He might lead us into glory, but one of the things that took place was He destroyed the power of the devil. Notice verse number 14 and 15 with me again. It says, For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Interesting. He took upon Himself the body of a man. He became man. He was lower than the angels that He might thus go to this thing of death and destroy the one who had the power of it. And no longer does Satan have this grip upon us. You say, but our body will die someday. It may, but the soul will never die. The spirit is alive forevermore. You might look at my body in a box, but I'm not there. And to be absent from the Lord is absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And so there's absolutely no defeat when it comes to the things of God. He destroyed the power of the devil. And then lastly, and the one that probably grips my soul the most, is we find that He came to this position for you and me. He came as man, not only that He might lead us in the path of humility, not only destroy the power of the devil, but it made Him our high priest. Notice verse number 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Is it possible to help somebody with a problem having never had the problem yourself? Of course it is. But isn't there something just a tad bit more, maybe I could say a whole lot more, when somebody can sit down with you and say, here is where victory is at. I know I've been through it. This is the situation of our Lord. He was here on earth. We'd have not the privilege to be able to say, God, you don't understand. We cannot do that. How many children will look at their parents when there's something going on in their life and it's like, well, you know, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You never lived in my age. You never experienced the things I've experienced. Well, you and I know that, yes, we did. And we went through the same things. And, you know, a child many times isn't comforted because they don't recognize that. But our Savior certainly has went through anything and everything that you and I have ever experienced. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted. And because He was the one who was taking His blood, by the way, angels' blood would not pay for the sins of men, would it? We don't even know if angels have blood, the life of the flesh, huh? They don't have flesh. They can manifest themselves thus, but we find that God, in the flesh, came and died for us, thus able to sacrifice His own blood, thus to take that blood into the very Holy of Holies and offer it for your sin and for my sin, and there to sit down at the right hand of the Father and intercede for us. To be our helper, to be the one to whom we can go to over and over and over again. He is our high priest. We get done with our prayers and we don't often recognize what we're doing, I don't think. We end up our prayers and it's like, well, this is the closing of my prayer in Jesus' name. We don't stop and think about it. But we're offering this prayer in His name because He is what? The high priest. If it be not for Him, if it be not for the fact we can go through Him, our prayer has no significance to God. But we have that privilege to take it through Him to God, and thus our prayers be answered. Amen? What a wonderful, beautiful picture. He is able to succor. I love that word. Basically, the word means help. Them that are tempted. He is able to lift us up. He's able to put us back on the right path. And so when the Lord, when He came as man, He came with the realization that there were some things that could be taken care of. One is lead you and I down the path of humility that we might come to the place of glory. No one ever comes to a place of glory without humility. And that He might destroy the power of the devil, and that He then might be made our great high priest. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, verse 15, a couple of verses that say much the same thing. It says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have one question. How often are we in a time of need? I heard a guy one time say, well, the only time people pray is when they need something. Very good. You know what our problem is? We don't recognize how much we need. And how often we need Him. Yes, it's all the time and every way. And it's a constant thing. And men and women who have learned that are people who are so dependent upon Him. God wants us to be in that position of dependence and coming for that grace in time of need. You and I are very needy people. Very needy. We think, and most of the times as Americans, I fear that we think so often in financial terms. But I think God wants us to understand there are far greater needs than that. And the spiritual needs of our soul is what God wants to meet in our life constantly, and how that is tremendous need. Well, let's seek Him in prayer at this moment. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to enter this house and to be able to look at this tremendous chapter that regards your humanity. Lord, you came that you might guide us into the place of humility. Lord, you wanted the Jew to humble himself. You want us as Gentiles to humble ourselves. Lord, you have said that we must humble ourselves in order to get saved. We must humble ourselves in order to render your sanctification effectively in our lives. Lord, humility is the necessity of our life. And so, Father, I pray that we might understand your humanity and recognize how in your humanity you were so dependent upon the Father, how you so often are seen on your knees praying, yea, even through the night, and how you are the one that is so dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to minister through. God, if you need that, as man, certainly we need that. Oh God, show us that route of humility. Thank you for coming not only as God, not only as the greatest of all, but making yourself yea, even lower than the angels, that we might have a Savior who can lead us into humility, thus into glory, who gives us certainly the wonderful privilege of power over Satan and his death, and a place to come to your side in a time of need. We just pray now you'll bless our fellowship to follow. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. Boy, I'm really fast tonight.